So tonight we are here, week one, with Mike Finley from the Vision...
For You Group in Springfield, New Jersey.
All right, thank you so much.
And you know, we don't really applaud me, right? We're applauding the power that brings us all here together tonight, right? And that's what the applause are for, right? We gather together as children of that power. And, you know, in addition to this lay-aside prayer, I just want to also add in prayer, in case I forget moving forward. You know, thank you, dear God, for bringing us all together today, especially today in this really special time of year when our brothers and sisters all around the world celebrate lights and a journey to light. Some of us are hungry, God. Some of us are tired. Some of us are lonely. Some of us are obsessed with thoughts. Some of us are happy. Some of us are joyful and peaceful. We thank you for this moment, dear God, in bringing us together and helping us to search for the light that you provide inside each and every one of us. I ask you, dear God, to please remove whatever is blocking me from these people. I ask you, dear God, to please remove whatever is blocking these people from me. And most importantly, dear God, we ask you that you lay aside everything that is blocking us from you so we can have an open heart, an open mind, and a new experience, in particular with this book, the meetings, the 12 steps, my disease, my physical powerlessness after I start to drink. Amen. I'm not going to get too much into anything about me or my story. I would imagine that those things are going to come out as the nature of this process. This book asks me to ask myself lots of questions. So there may be points in times where we're collectively going to stop and ask ourselves these questions, and maybe not. I know that, I'm sure that there's lots of opinions, lots of hopes on how this experience is supposed to go, how this meeting in particular is supposed to go, and how it's supposed to be run. I fretted over those particular issues within myself, sought counsel from founding members of this group and other people that I trust and love. And if it's not the experience that you were looking for, hold tight. Alcoholics Anonymous probably does have that experience for you somewhere. I want you all to know that I'm open to hearing your feedback on the way that you may want to hear this experience go. Maybe afterwards or you know, during the week or whatever. God is in charge of this thing. Not me, not you, but he, who has kept me sober now, thank God, for over 10 years. Free from drink, free from all other things that affect my sobriety. Free from the obsession of mind and many aspects, sometimes all at once and sometimes at different points of time or in different ways, the spiritual malady and the defects of character that bring me to misery. So I'm definitely open to hearing about it. This is the way I see it so far. I'm going to talk, you know, for the next few weeks about step one. Tonight we're going to probably try to focus on the physical powerlessness. Possibly next week would look like mental obsession. The following week we would talk about the spiritual malady. Beyond that, steps 2, 3, 4, probably will take a few weeks. 5, 6, and 7 in one shot. 8 and 9. 10, 11, and 12, God willing. So that's what it's been led to me so far. Okay? And that's that. It's an honor also to be here because I was sponsored by one of the founding members of this group for a short period of time. I sat in these chairs, attended the meeting regularly because that was his request to have that, to come and share this experience with him. In that parking lot, he dropped me as a sponsor. I'll tell you about that in steps 8 and 9, God willing, if I'm able to make it and if we're all able to be here. It's an honor, and I really appreciate, you know, all of us that come here to try to share our experience and to grow closer to this light. And it really is an honor at this time when we talk about light, right? There's people all over the world right now. Our Jewish brothers and sisters start their Festival of Lights today. Mm-hmm. Our Christian friends are all in the search and the waiting for the coming of the light. You know, wise men in search of light. You know, our Muslim brothers, the same. All of us here in Alcoholics Anonymous, we're also seeking light, right? Light within, right? The book calls him the presider of all light. And so it's a real special time for me, right? I really enjoy the opportunity to be at this time. And just like all of these folks, right? The journey to the light sometimes takes a while. Sometimes it's not what we expect it to be. Sometimes it's not what we expect it to look like. It's usually, for many people, not an overnight matter. And so for those who are still in the search and still in that drudging to get to the light, hang in there, take another step, take another step. Trust that this process has worked for so many people before me. And I can tell you it has, because this book is what still brings us together and the inspiration of the words that come together in that respect. So, first thing my sponsor had me do, and I've had quite a few, had me turn open to the page Alcoholics Anonymous. He had me circle this word called recovered. And he given me some definitions of what that means and what that looks like. All right, and just in case we're not familiar with that, this is what it is. Recovered is being restored to health by having the symptoms of the illness removed. Yeah. Recovered is being restored to health by having the symptoms of the illness removed. Recovering is continuing to remain in the cycles of the symptoms of the illness. Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I'd heard on television, I've heard in movies some things about AA. I'd had some friends of mine who had experience with 12-step rooms. And they used to always say in all of those cases, you're always going to be a recovering alcoholic. You're always going to be a recovering addict. Right? Recovering is to continue to remain in the cycles of the symptoms of the illness. Our book tells us what some of those symptoms are. Right? Fear. Resentment. Judgment, self-will, laziness, lust, pride, ego. For me, it's fear like crazy, tons of judgment. And so, if I'm always going to be recovering, I'm always going to have the fear, the resentment, the anger, the wanting to kill myself, wanting to kill everybody else. With or without a drink. That's my story. With or without a drink, if I'm to be recovering and always recovering, I'm going to remain in the cycles of the illness. I'm going to still have all the symptoms of alcoholism, maybe just without a drink. Or with one, however it so be. To be recovered is being restored to health by having the symptoms of the illness removed. So this book, Alcoholics Anonymous, 12 steps out of this book, right, promises that we are going to be recovered. The symptoms of the illness removed. The fear, gone. The resentment, gone. The defects of character, gone. The judgment, gone. The lust, gone. That's the promise. The symptoms removed. To be recovered. To be honest with you, that's what I'm looking for here. Right? I could not control my emotional natures. I was not a gentleman in any way, shape, or form. And to be honest with you, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous to be a gentleman. I would guarantee you that every woman I dated, or many of the women I dated, up until the moment that I came in here, would not call me or think of me as a gentleman in any way, shape, or form of what that looks like. I want to have the symptoms of the illness removed. Because with those symptoms, I want to kill myself. And my best thought on that journey to killing myself would be pick up a drink. It's the best I could do without killing myself. That'd be the best I can do. So, I would like to be recovered. They have me circle this word recovered. Now, my sponsor also gave me the definition of cured. Right? Being restored to health by having the illness removed. Right? So, this book, The Worlds of Science, has not found a cure for alcoholism. The best chance that we got through science and this book and this process is to be recovered. Is to have the symptoms of the illness removed. Not, I just need to stop drinking so I can be okay. I need to stop drinking so my family will be okay. I need to stop drinking so my job will be okay, so I can pursue these dreams, so I can have a normal sex life, or whatever the heck it is that's going on in this mind that we obsess over. The truth is, if you're a real alcoholic, you have to be okay. This way you'll never even think of a drink again, need a drink again, want to die, or try to find some other solution to those symptoms that we are discussing here. Okay. And one way he described it, and I'm not a doctor, I'm not a medicine man at all, so forgive me for screwing this up, but this was the way he described it to me, and I'm going to stick with it, right? Science has not found a cure for cancer. We can all choose a different kind of treatment for the cancer, right? If somebody has cancer, you have choices. You can have chelation therapy. You can do chemotherapy, right? Some people go to places down in Florida and other health farms where they totally and radically change their diets, and they have their illness or the symptoms of the illness removed. The cancer, as they say, are in remission, right? The cells are no longer attacking itself. The cells are no longer acting in the way that they do, that cancer does, right? Because, God willing, they pursued some treatment, and that treatment worked. The cancer is in remission. And I can tell you from experience, from people who have who've had cancer, who have tried some of those remedies, in particular the healthy lifestyle one, they started picking up chicken, and that cancer came back, and they died. For me in Alcoholics Anonymous, this is my treatment. I'm seeking to be recovered. Chances are, if I maintain a spiritual life, even if science were to give me a cure for alcohol and alcoholism, I still wouldn't want it. That's a blessing. Thank you, God. So, what did we do next? We then went to the preface. He had me underline a word here in the second paragraph called basic text, right? This is page XI in the newest forms here of our book. Basic text is a book that needs to be taught, right? This is more than a book designed to transmit information. It is a book that is designed to transmit an experience to allow me to recover from alcoholism, right? This book is about that. Okay? And I need somebody who's had an experience with the book to take me through it, right? To teach me the experience, to teach me what they did to recover. Okay? So, this is our basic text. This is the purpose of this book, right? Later on, I have underlined, there exists a strong sentiment against any radical changes being made in it. And I must say, I am one of those people. Okay, I am one of the people among us today that strongly resists any radical changes made to this book, in particular from the preface to page 164, where you find the program of recovery. All right? This is the guy you're talking to. So if you see me at intergroup or GSO and they start to have those votes about let me modernize this or let me change this or let me, you know, sweeten up, you know, some PC way of describing something in this book, I'm going to tell you in a radical way, no. It's worked this long. Let's keep it going. Okay? And so were my sponsors. Right? And so were their sponsors. All the people have taught me and taken me through this process, they also have those same sentiments. And because of those people, thank you God, the AA recovery program has been left largely untouched. Okay? And it tells us right there where the program of recovery is. Right? From this preface to page 164. It's not in anywhere else or any other book or any other form of literature that we have. The AA program of recovery is here. So when I say, you know, this is my program, it's not working out in my program or any of this other stuff, there's only one program. It's in here. Anything else is a story. Anything else is something that you're creating. Or anything else is something that somebody else has created on their own and has passed on to you. All right? At least according to this book. It's called The Big Book Workshop. That's what it is. Okay. I turn to the forward to the first edition, XIII. In the forward to the first edition, okay, we have Alcoholics Anonymous on more than 100 men and women who have recovered from... here it goes again. Right? We haven't even gotten into the heavy duty. Twice this word recovered comes up. Who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. What are we recovering from? A seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Makes me ask some questions. Do I have a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body? Do I believe I have a hopeless state of mind and a hopeless state of body? And at 10 years sober, do you still believe that, Finley? You know? However, wherever we are in this process, do I still believe that? Or do I even believe it at all? And if you don't, that's cool. We got another bunch of pages to go through to find out through the identification process if you do. Right? But it's a good question. Since I'm 10 years sober, I've been through it a few times. Do I still believe that? Some days I don't. I'm going to tell you that honestly. Some days I don't write inventory. Sometimes I don't do nightly review. Sometimes I don't pick up the phone call from that guy who needs some help. If I really would believed that I was suffering from hopeless mind and body every time, all the day long, I'd be on my knees all the time. And out there with Mother Teresa and the other ladies, doing whatever I could, self-sacrifice for others at a constant basis. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. So off to the side here, I have a few words. Precisely, clear-cut, exact, specific. Sponsor had me look up all these words. Right? What do those words mean? What does precisely mean? Joe at the 12 and 12 says, you know, don't drink and go to meetings. So that's now the program of recovery. Those are the specific directions that I need to follow, right? Rob says, stay away from people, places, and things. Is that the stuff that I need to follow, right? If they do, ask them to show me where it is in this book, because in this book it says precisely how we have recovered. And these are the directions: clear cut, specific, exact, and precisely. Interchangeable words that you're going to hear and see at different times as you read this book. All right? So, that's what we're doing here. All right? And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. Okay? So, for me, I have our way of living underlined, I have other stuff underlined, and I have this word all circled. So, it is telling me that this AA way of life has its advantages for everybody. And one thing, too, and I'm just going to say it now, right? My sponsor, and when I sponsor guys, or girls, I give them the dignity to find out what their truth is. Some people have multiple things going on. Some people mess around with other stuff, right? Some people do some other substances. Some people have other afflictions, sugar, food, sex, drugs, booze. I'm given the dignity to find out that truth. My sponsor doesn't say, you know, you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be whatever. Let's take this word, alcohol, and if you're having a problem with some other things, let's change up the words and find out what your truth is. This is your experience. No one can take it from you. You can't have my experience. It's not going to help you. You need to have your own experience. So let's discover what your truth is, right? You know, drug problem, sex problem, food problem, sugar problem, alcohol problem. Let's find out, right? Let's find out your truth. Right now, we're dealing with alcohol. That's what we're going to talk about here. But just so you know, that's the way I've been sponsored. My people, you know, give me that dignity. I try to give the same dignity to my sponsees. If they have one of those other afflictions, I say, great. Do you want to recover from this thing? Let's move forward. I totally and highly encourage you to go to those other fellowships, fellowship with those people, and then bring this message to them, right? Help them out. Okay. But it says it has its advantages for all. So that means my mom could benefit from it, my girlfriend could benefit from it, my dad could benefit from it. Non-alcoholics, by the way, right? You know, it's got advantages for all. And why not? In many respects, these principles that we're talking about are as old as the age of time. We're just so sick and twisted and demented and self-centered that we refuse to pay attention to them until eventually, you know, a guy like me, at least, smashes my head up against the wall so many times that I'm decided that maybe going through the hole in the, you know, going through the wall by smashing a hole in the center of the brick is the way through it. Maybe there's another way, right? That's the type of guy. That's the guy who's talking here tonight. And sometimes, and not just with alcohol, lots of other stuff. So this way of life has its advantages of all. And also, this is our way of life. Right? It's not our way to quit drinking. Right? They're not saying this is our way to quit drinking. Right? This is our way of life, to stay sober for good. Right? Not one day at a time. For good. Permanent sobriety. The symptoms of the illness to be removed always. Right? A manner of life without alcohol to constantly be pouring on top of my spiritual sickness. A way of life. This is what Alcoholics Anonymous brings me, and can bring you too, right? And it's going to be different for you. You're going to have your own experience with this stuff. So if I say some stuff that doesn't, like, quit, you know, jive with you, that's cool. Have your own experience, you know, but don't sell yourself short and miss out. Okay. Gosh, I could talk about this next page for a while, but we're going to skip to XX. In the forward to the second edition. Okay, I have in little brackets, I have it underlined, I have another thing really underlined a bunch of times, of alcoholics who come to AA and really tried. 50% got sober at once and remained that way. So, what is that saying? If you come to Alcoholics Anonymous, you get yourself a sponsor who's had an experience with this book, right? Somebody who's had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, you ask them to take you through this book, and you really try. Half of you are going to get sober at once. That's my experience working with guys who really try. All right? And in addition to me working with guys who really try, 25% of those sobered up after some relapses. I have experience working with those guys too. They keep writing inventory, they're drinking. I keep taking them through the first step, they're drinking, right? They make amends, they relapse. But eventually, the experience happens and they get it. It says 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. So it's saying right here, the statistics for Alcoholics Anonymous through this book, the program of recovery, none of this other stuff that you hear, you know, if it's not in this book, it's not the program of recovery. That's what this book is telling me. And I'm going to tell you, the book came first, not the fellowship, right? The book came first. Mm-hmm. From the book comes the fellowship, not the other way around. If the fellowship is having a really hard time with the book, one, they may not be alcoholics. They may not be real alcoholics. And two, they may be still sick and suffering, recovering, remaining in the system, symptoms of the cycles of the illness. You know, and if you see one of those fellows and you've had an experience, offer them some help. Show them this page. You can recover from that. I need to remind myself that too. You know, I've got problems. I have stuff comes up. I have a delusional mind that wants to kill me, right? It wants to still search out a way, right? You squeeze my ego, it still looks for a way out. Okay. All right. I have to remember this all the time. This really works if I really try. I also have to always be really trying. Not, I completed, give me my diploma, let me go off somewhere else. I got to keep doing it. I have to maintain. Okay, so let's go to the doctor's opinion, I think. All right. We started this thing off with a lay aside prayer, right? Very specifically, we ask God to lay aside, right, everything we think we know about the physical allergy in relationship to booze, right? Everything that takes place after I start to drink, okay? This is what we're focusing on here, all right? The physical cravings of my body, right? This is where the first step begins, and we start by using the doctor's opinion by turning statements into questions, right? What happens to me after I take the first drink? Nothing to do with what I think, nothing to do about what I think about AA, nothing about what I think about alcohol, nothing about what I think about alcoholism. From now, the experience begins. What is your experience after you start to drink? Okay? Not what goes on in the mind. Right now, save the mind for next week. Right now, hopefully, keep it outside forever, as one of my teachers would say. Right? I need a new mind. Right? You know, I need this thing to be transformed. Right? Keep the mind out of it for right now. Right? God willing, we'll have some time next week. Okay? Right now, what happens to me physically once I start to drink? What's going on here? Okay? And not what you think about this stuff. What's your experience? The experience can begin now. All right? And the consideration here is do I lose control physically once I've started? Or can you control your drinking? All right? And if it turns out you can control your drinking, you're not an alcoholic. If you woke up today and chose not to drink, that means you have choice over alcohol. That means you have power over alcohol. That means you can control your drinking. You're welcome to hang out. But please direct the real alcoholics to another real alcoholic who can help, you know, help them to be recovered. Okay. So, and again, I know I say stuff that's controversial or can be controversial. Forgive me. This is just my experience. I'm a lunatic. You know, I really need a lot of help. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I sign up for. All right? Okay. So it says here, convincing testimony must surely come from doctors who have had experience with the sufferings of alcoholics and have witnessed their return to health. Do I believe that? I'm here in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Do I believe that, you know, I need to hear from a medical person who's had experience with working with people like me? For example, is reading a book by a psychiatrist who doesn't have experience with alcoholics worthwhile? Or would the convincing testimony be best to be heard from somebody who sits around with sick people like me, in and out, relapsing, you know, breaking families, breaking homes, breaking furnitures, breaking lives, breaking promises, breaking spirit? Guys who see guys like me all the time, and the horrors that come in, and the wives crying, and the policemen waiting at the door so that they can cuff them and take them away somewhere. You know, do you think it would be possible that it would be to convincing testimony should come from that guy and not my mother, right? Not my father, because my father really thinks all you got to do is stop. God love him. He's a good man. That's his experience. He can just stop. He can just stop a lot of stuff. Yeah? But he's a guy also, I think since 6 years old, has been also seeking a spiritual experience his entire life. You know? So this concept is not for him, and he also doesn't have the physical allergy. Right? It's one of the components here. So this guy, Dr. Silkworth, right, was the leading physician in the number one hospital in the country for alcoholism and drug addiction. This guy, Silkworth, had 51,000 cases of alcoholics. Okay? This guy has experience. This guy knows what he's talking about. This guy writes a letter in a book by a drunk like me. He puts his medical reputation on the line. For in those days, they took you and they locked you up. If you kept relapsing, any chronic relapses here? Any people who relapse 6 and 7 times, show up in hospitals, institutions, you know, rehabs over and over again? If you existed at this time and that was your problem, they took you, they locked you up, and they put you in a funny farm. That was medicine's best solution for guys like me and anybody else who raises their hand. You are being put in a nut house. That and to live off the rest of your days. Okay? That was what science could do. This guy had experience with those procedures. He gives out an opinion here, which is still controversial to many folks in this day, about us having an allergy. Right? But just to give a little background, this guy, William Silkworth, is a man with experience with working with people like us. So this is the weight that comes in this following on these following statements. And the question is do I think that if I'm going to be convinced about hearing what science has to say about alcoholism, that I should hear something from a guy who's had experience? Would that make sense? Mm-hmm. All right. So, another thing. The doctor, scientist, right, is going to talk about things physical, and he's going to talk about things spiritual, right? Which is kind of amazing, right, for a doctor, right? How many times you get to hear a doctor tell you, you need to have a spiritual experience, right? You know what I mean? I can't help you, right? No, the thing is, have a pill come back next week, have a pill come back next week, go talk to this, you know, therapist. Oh, I need you to come every day. Right? Until for some reason your insurance runs out. Then it's go to AA. Right? Right? Exactly. Take a pill. Oh, your insurance is gone. Go to AA. Why is that? Is there a question? Okay. The doctor's going to speak of matters physical and spiritual. All right? Hopefully we ignore the spiritual for a couple weeks. We're going to talk still about the physical, God willing, if we have time. Okay. Okay. In late 1934, again, we're on XXV. In late 1934, I attended a patient who, though he had been a competent businessman of good earning capacity, was an alcoholic of a type that I had come to regard as hopeless. Folks, would you say that you are an alcoholic of the type that can be regarded as hopeless? Are you a hopeless alcoholic? I am. Mm-hmm. Okay? And here's another way of saying it. Okay? You're sitting here in a room today, right? You may have a year, you may have 2 years, you may have a couple of days, right? There may be this hope, right? And good. I want you to have it. Hold on to it. Keep moving. Keep chasing it. However, another way of phrasing it is am I the alcoholic type who wants to quit but can't? Do you want to quit and you can't? Do you want to stop but you can't stop on your own? That's hopeless. For the purpose of this scenario, that's hopeless. And the question is, 10 years sober, 2 years sober, 20 years sober, do I still believe that? And what does that look like in my daily actions? Or do I not need to apologize for calling or gossiping about her anymore? right? I'm a recovered AA and this and that. I'm spiritual, whatever. You know, all of a sudden I'm rationalizing again and all these other things, right? Do I still believe today I am hopeless, can't quit on my own, or have I had some sort of other experience or my ego telling me something else? And what am I doing about it? I personally have known scores of cases of who were the type of whom other methods have failed completely. Let me ask you, have you folks tried other methods other than AA to stop drinking? Right? I know some people do yoga, some people do the health stuff, you know, the vegetarian thing or whatever it is, juicing. You know, some people do treks out into the woods and spiritual journeys and shamans and these other things, right? And psychiatry. Have you tried other methods? God bless you. And how did they work out? Did they fail completely? Did you keep drinking? Did you keep relapsing? Even if it was 2 years, even if it was 3 years, even if it was 5 years, even if it was 6 months, did you pick up a drink again? Because that method did fail. And I got a cousin who, you know, you tell him about, you know, this situation, and he says, well, I did it myself for 6 months, and he thinks he's got power. Drinking now, on the couch, won't come with me. Right? Not asking me for anything. Right? Love him to death. He's the best. He's my hero, you know, one of my heroes, right? But have you tried other methods that had failed completely? Right? If you are, the doctor is talking about a person like you. Okay? So on XXVI. One of my most favorite statements, and it has nothing to do really with the physical allergy, but it makes me want to cry a lot of times, because it's the first ignition of power that's transmitted to me, and it goes like this: you may rely absolutely on anything that they say about themselves. Yeah, he's talking about me. The dude who punches holes in his walls. The dude who thinks his girlfriend is always out there, you know, cheating on him. You know, the guy who can't sit down at Thanksgiving because he thinks that the 9-year-old and the 7-year-old are laughing at him. Right? The guy who can't sit still while watching the Yankees game. You know, and you ever hear them say, you ever hear people say, how do you know an alcoholic is lying? You ever hear that expression? How do you know an alcoholic is lying? You ever hear that? Because lips are moving, right? Because he's talking, right? Well, this is saying right here that you can trust this alcoholic on anything he has to say about himself. Dude, that is amazing. What a gift that this guy gives to me, that this power gives to me, that this experience gives to me. I have some sort of worth, and I can be trusted, and I can be relied upon. Don't trust what I got to say about the stock market, right? Don't trust what I got to say about Weight Watchers, relationships, dating, right? All any of this other stuff. He's saying you can absolutely rely on anything they have to say about themselves. And then the other question might be is, can I rely absolutely on anything that these people have been recovered say about themselves in this book? One way, if that's a tricky question for you, is, did it work for these people? Did the people who did it this way recover? And is Alcoholics Anonymous still in existence as a result of the people making those efforts and doing it today? If the answer is yes, and you see it happening, people who have been transformed and having experiences and all these other stuff, then it might be possible that you could rely upon anything that these alcoholics have to say about themselves. All right, and then the other question is do I believe that this book might have a remedy for me? I did, because my sponsor was sick. And my sponsor wasn't going home and beating up the dog and cursing out his wife. My sponsor was a gentleman. And I wanted that. I wanted to be a gentleman. Later on, the alcoholics are talking again. We who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your body is just as sick, just as twisted, just as abnormal as your mind is? It might be another question. Do you think your mind is abnormal? When it comes, and if you think you might be very normal in many respects, right? You may hold a good job, a member of the community, a mayor, a lawyer, a priest, a rabbi, a father of the year. But when it comes to alcohol, is your mind twisted? Do you got a problem when it comes to alcohol? Does your mind tell you to go out and drink even though you know if you pick it up it's going to kill you? Even though if you know if you pick it up, you know, your chances are you're going to get arrested or something like that, or you don't know what's going to happen? That's an alcoholic mind. Now, do you believe that it's possible that your body is sick too? All right? Again, if you don't believe it at this point, that's okay. You don't have to believe it also, right? There's no right or wrong answers to these questions. Mm-hmm. But there's an identification process. You're in a room called Alcoholics Anonymous. There is an identification process of what an alcoholic is, what a real alcoholic is. If you're going to be hanging out in rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous for the rest of your days, it'd be really worthwhile to find out what the heck the definition is for a real alcoholic and not listen to my mother. Right? Because my mother is the guy, the bum, the person in the family you don't talk about, right? You don't say why he's here, don't say anything, right? Right? That's her definition of an alcoholic. Mine, before I came in here, was the guy with one tooth, with a red nose, who was bald and sitting at the end of the bar, and got there, before me. I'd show up at 11, he would show up at 10:59, he's the real alcoholic, right? Right? So I have my own warp this understandings of what that is. And if you're going to be an Alcoholics Anonymous, I highly recommend you finding out what at least they say a real alcoholic is, and if you identify with that. Oh, it does not... Yeah, it does not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we're maladjusted to life. Is anybody here... is now or were maladjusted to life? Ding. What about in full flight from reality? Ding. Right? I thought my girlfriend was having sex with the entire Freehold Police Department. Right? And I couldn't tell if that was true or not. And I thought, well, maybe if it's not all of them, maybe it's one or two of them. Uh-huh. You know, they're always behind me. Something's going on. Right? Right? Or was I an outright mental defective? Bing. That's what my second sponsor, who through this process, he would call me, you're mental defective. Right? I didn't need to figure it out on my own. He told me. Right? These things are true to some extent. Okay? And in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us. Is this true? Are some of these true to some extent about me? Okay? And do I believe that my body is sick as well? All right? These people, Alcoholics Anonymous, the doctor, who I just told you about, 51,000 cases, stands behind them and says, in our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. So, if you're not identifying with a physical craving, you might not be an alcoholic. The book did just say, though, that this book has advantages for all, and if you don't identify as an alcoholic, but you still have some of these spiritual issues and whatever that they talk about, or these other things, go have an experience with it. See what it's going to happen. It says it's going to benefit for all. Right? But the point is, do I have this physical thing, and do I believe that any picture of the alcoholic which leaves this out is incomplete? I hear it all the time in meetings. Just don't drink and go to meetings. I hear about it all the time. I hear a guy, writing a four-step, comes in, relapses. The elder statesman in the room says, dude, don't take it easy on that four-step, man. Just don't drink and go to meetings. What the heck is that? So to that guy, he's got choice. He's got power once the alcohol is in him. The question is do you? When alcohol's in your system, do you run loose? Do you know when you're going to stop? Do you know how much you're going to have tonight? You know, have you ever said, I'm just going to have three and I have 13? You know? I do. And it's okay if that's not your experience. The doctor's theory that we have an allergy to alcohol interests us. Is that interesting to anybody here? I mean, I frankly, wasn't what I was expecting when I came in here, somebody telling me about allergies and all this other stuff like that, right? I'm going to give you a definition that my teachers had me write down. Allergy, Webster Dictionary definition. A condition of unusual sensitivity to a substance which, in like amounts, does not affect others and is characterized by systemic disorders. A condition of unusual sensitivity to a substance which, in like amounts, does not affect others and is characterized by systemic disorders. Okay. What does that look like? I'll give you my one of the things that I use here. Two guys, bald, 6 foot tall, 190 pounds, right? Look the same mother and father, right? Same social economic background, same religious leanings, same, teachers, right? Same high school, girlfriend, anything you want to say. Everything's the same about these two guys, right? One, you know, you fill them up with, a highball of, say, gin, right? You give that guy the same amount as the ex-guy. Five of these tall glasses of gin. Mm-hmm. You fill in whatever you want. Rum, whiskey, whatever. Everybody has the same amount. The two guys have the same amount. One guy, he takes after his fifth drink, the room starts to spin a little bit, right? There's something going on in his stomach. He's not feeling too good. He steps outside. He goes out into the deck. He feels like he's going to throw up. There's a little water dripping out of his mouth like this. He goes outside. He goes out into the backyard. He throws up, right? Things are spinning now. Throws up again, right? Wants to fall down and that stuff. No, he turns around. He throws up again, right? And he's down, right? And he says, dude, I'm not doing this again. And that guy either doesn't do it again or says, when I have five of those, it's a nightmare. I'm doing four. And he successively, for the rest of his life, is able to do four, three, wine only, whatever, and not have this problem, never feel like he's breaking any of his personal stories or any of this other stuff. Right? Then there's another guy. He's a little bit like me. Same thing. Bald, the whole deal, socioeconomic, whatever. Right? He has five of those glasses. Same substance, same vendor, same everything. Right? Now, when he drinks it, the room starts to spin a little bit. Right? Gets that little thing in his stomach. Something's going on here. Mm. Water comes dripping down his mouth. He goes outside. A little fresh air. Oh, my gosh. Something's going to happen. He goes out into the backyard. He throws up. He, says, I'm going to fall into this stuff. He throws up again. Then he turns and he throws up again. And then he lays down. But this guy says, hey, let's take the vodka and the lemonade now. And goes out and makes a pitcher. Or that guy gets up tomorrow and does it all over again. Right? Right? The guy who has this allergy keeps doing it. Puts it in his system and keeps doing it, keeps doing it, keeps doing it. Right? He may have many stories in his head as to why he's doing it, but if he has this physical allergy, he's drinking beyond anything that his mind may or may not tell him to do. Right? Or anything about what his mother or family or any of these other people tell him to do. This guy has a physical craving. He doesn't know when he's going to start or stop again, and he goes out and does some more, right? Does anybody have that experience mm-hmm. with alcohol? Mm-hmm. My mom, you put a little Bailey's, right, in a rocks glass with some milk, has a great time, she's fun, she's sociable, she's all this other stuff. You start to hit her up with another thing of Bailey's, she may go, oh, whoa, take it easy, whatever like that. But, you know, she's still working on it. Now me, all right, now, first of all, I'd love to see my mother this way, so let's go for some more, right? She goes, no, I'm already starting to feel it, right? That's a person who has a normal reaction to poison, right? Like, I'm starting to feel it, I'm not going to go too crazy tonight, you know, I'm taking it easy, whatever, right? Me, alcoholic, starting to feel it, that's what I'm here for. Starting to feel it, like, good, you know, turn on the music, you know, hopefully I can deal with you a little bit better, Ma, and, you know, let's enjoy Christmas for once, or whatever my mind is telling me, right? And keep going. I keep going. We don't know when Christmas is going to stop for me. Right, I'm going to keep going until it's, you know, Three Kings Day or something, right? That's the way it goes, right? And for whatever other story it is. Mom, normal reaction. Me, abnormal. Causes problems. Stuff happens. I keep doing it, right? Anybody have any other allergies? Peanuts or food allergies or stuff like that, right? You know, strawberries or these other things?
Mm-hmm.
No? You've had that experience. Do you eat or touch those things?
No.
After having the abnormal reaction? I mean, voluntarily at least?
No.
Right. That's a normal reaction to a guy who even understands that they have an allergy. Right? But not so with the alcoholic. Right? This is a definition of allergy. Right? This is what the doctor, this is what I use in terms of moving forward. Okay? Later on, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who is very jittery or befogged. More often than not, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he is approached. Okay. So even the alcoholic here, even the guys who write this book, are suggesting that the allergy be removed for a little while. This guy needs to go to detox. He may not even quite be totally set up to start dealing with this process. He needs a couple of days away from the substance. Because they know when the substance is in him, all bets are off unless you lock him up somewhere and get it out of their system. Then we're dealing with a problem of the mind and the spirit. All right? So... So, another little thing about the allergy and about the physical craving, things of that nature. Here's the doctor, XXVIII. All right. We believe, and so suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy. All right. Do I believe? Let's not even ask yourself if this is true for you. Do you believe that for an alcoholic, a real alcoholic, for them, they have this manifestation of an allergy? I do. Right? I do because I see it. I do because I know other people who have that experience. And I know because that's my experience. Right? But this is a doctor. 51,000 cases. Right? He is now saying that... the chronic alcoholic is a manifestation of an allergy, and that the phenomenon of craving, my sponsors have me circle, phenomenon of craving, is limited to this class. Which class is that? The chronic alcoholic. And he has me underline this class. Mm-hmm. Then he has me circle the word never. And never occurs in the average temperate drinker. Mm-hmm. The doctor is making it very clear. If you do not have this physical allergy, if you do not have these physical cravings for alcohol, you are not an alcoholic. Do you, you know, are you starting to identify, you know, and this is why I ask people, with this idea of a physical craving? Do you, first of all, does the concept make sense to you? But number two, is this your experience? All right? And these allergic types, the doctor can never safely use alcohol in any form at all, and once having formed the habit, and they found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence and their reliance upon things human, mom, dad, money, drugs, pills, yoga, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. This is the doctor with his experience with people like me. All right? Number one, do you feel that you can safely use alcohol in any form at all? I can't. Anybody else have that experience when it comes to alcohol? Okay. Do you have you found that you had formed the habit and cannot break it? Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah. What about had you lost your self-confidence? Mm-hmm. And maybe you have some confidence, but when it comes to this booze thing, are you on shaky grounds? Do you think like, you know, do you see it as like a nightmare for you? You can't, you have no confidence over this thing because you know it's leading you into negative spaces. Mm-hmm. I lost my self-confidence and that's my relationship with alcohol. Reliance upon things human have your problems piled up on you and become astonishingly difficult to solve. Mm-hmm. How about in AA without a drink? Mm-hmm. Are your problems piling up on you? And are they becoming astonishingly difficult to solve? You've either had this experience and you're not doing something. You need to make some more amends. You held some stuff back on your inventory and you're not sharing it with your sponsor. You know, you're unwilling to forgive somebody for something. You haven't given... maybe you're not praying and meditating, right? Or... you haven't done any of these things, and you're walking around here with all of these problems, all of these symptoms of alcoholism, and as this book would call us, an untreated alcoholic walking around without a drink. Restless, irritable, discontented, wanting to die, wanting to kill other people, or at the very least, you know, stressed out, anxiety, nervous wreck, all the time. Okay? If you identify with some of those things, there is a chance you may be an alcoholic. And it's my time to stop now. We'll discuss more of it another day.
Yeah, thank you.